It is the WIP Morning Show, a little Eminence front. Look at Justin Morgenstern back there, belying his age. Giving us a little who in the morning. I love it.
Don't let me cook.
That's good. He's cooking back there. I like it. 215-592-9494.
Is that who or is that Pete Townsend?
It's the who.
Are you
sure?
It's
Eminence front. Yeah, okay. It's the who. You can let it fade longer, though. That was a quick fade. You got to give us a little long fade.
So it's actually funny because I was talking to my girlfriend last night. I'm producing the show today.
Shout out to Justin's girlfriend.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what returns I'm going to play. And then I say, I get very pod down happy when it comes to the returns. And I go, James just lets it play out. I got to figure out how to do that. And it's a bad job by me.
Very slowly. I'll go like that. And then I'll give it another like that. And then I'll kind of wait for a minute. And I'll kind of go with the music. Like if there's a drop in the music, I'll stop for a sec. And then I'll go back. To bring it down. So,
DJing 101.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Did you just shout out your girlfriend with the hopes of like earning points?
I mean, I've done it before, but like now. But I was just saying because it's funny that he said that because we had that conversation last night.
It is fine. So just take your time. You got it. You know. Funny enough, my girlfriend, my wife, has never, ever, ever, one time. Listen to this show or any show that I've ever done. She has never listened to the midday show. Once in a while, on a Saturday, if like family will be over, they'll turn on Go Birds or something once in a while for a few minutes, she'll say. But that is it.
Why?
Intentional lack of support.
So, no, this is where it comes from, is that my wife is, she does not like talking in front of people. She does not like talking. She doesn't like a phone period. Like she will ignore her phone. So she like when she hears callers on the air, she gets so nervous for the callers. She's like, I feel so uncomfortable that they're gonna screw up or something and it's gonna be so uncomfortable for me that she doesn't listen.
Wow. So she has phone performance anxiety. Wow.
Yeah. She feels bad for
it.
I actually understand that though. Yeah. So that's her reasoning. Maybe she just doesn't like me.
That sounds so strange.
Well, she obviously cares about James. So I could see how. So, like, I don't like listening back to myself.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people do.
Same here.
So maybe it's a similar thing. Like, she gets nervous.
My mom used to be really afraid to listen to me on the air because she was afraid I would curse.
I believe that, Rhea. I could see your mom knew you well. That was good.
She did.
Which is funny because you're one of the few members of the show who's not cursed on the radio.
I've managed to never do that.
It's unbelievable, actually. Knowing you 27 years. Yeah. Good job, Rhea. Credit.
I don't know how I did it.
I made it 13 or 12 and a half, and then it came out. So it's good work by you. 215-592-9494. Hello to everyone except my wife, who is definitely not listening to this show. Let's go back to the phones.
We could just talk bad about her. She's never going to hear it.
Hey, yeah, she'll never know.
You guys are so close.
Her uncle listens. Shout out to Uncle Dan. You know, she's got some family members. Uncle Tim checks in.
Do you wish that she
listens? No, I'm totally fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm good.
But it would be nice for occasional.
So, she hears enough of me.
I'm sure you've met Emily. You know, people.
You guys are so
our relationship
great
is
together.
I talk a lot and she talks a lot less. So I think she's already heard enough of me. Now it's Zoe talks a lot. Now me and Zoe talk a lot.
Zoe's a little me.
Zoe is like.
Oh, she is 100%.
Like, literally. Like,
I got interrogated by her in London where we were waiting to board the bus, and I was like, wow.
Yeah. My mother in law, shout out to Suze, she came over yesterday and was helping, or 2 days ago, was helping out with Zoe, and she's just like, she's you. Like, she is like you.
100%.
Like, I know. It's pretty funny. So, there you go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Something.
That's fun.
It's weird. I mean, it is such a unique, it's unique to you. It's not unique. A lot of people go through it, but it's a very unique to you human experience to see yourself in your child.
Mini-me.
It's such a wild thing. Like, oh, you do that because of me, because I do that. Like, that's just a crazy feeling, you know?
In my case, when it's a daughter who's showing signs of me, that I get really concerned. Like, I hope you don't go full me.
Don't be too much like me.
Yeah, like that would be a problem if it really went farther than that. So, but you know, fortunately, to this point,
it seems like it's soft and cuddly, and it's good.
It's working out all right.
No, you've done a great job. Seriously, 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Talk to Mike in New York. Michael!
Happy Football Friday, y'all.
Yeah, buddy. Well done there.
Indeed,
well done,
Mike.
Oh, man.
We got a game.
Yeah, we got a game. We got a game. We got some things to actually pay attention to. But before I bring up what I want to say about the Eagles, James, I have a suggestion as producer extraordinaire there at the station.
Yes.
I think we're trending towards next week. One of the questions of the day needs to be name one of the biggest menopause moments in music, TV, and cinema.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. You're right. Idea. That is a great idea. Like Brian's song. Bang. Nailed it.
Holy cow.
Well, that won't be depressing at all that day.
Basically, what are you crying at?
I'll tell you what, though. Menopause moments, Olympic commercials for McDonald's. Like, those are menopause moments. Those get me.
On the ride home today, listen to Green Day, Good Riddance. You're going to start crying.
And the When September Ends also.
Oh, God. All right, let's lift it back up.
I mean, again, I watch seven-minute episodes of Bluey with my daughter, and I'm, like, crying at the end of them. So, yeah, I feel you. It's all it takes is a seven-minute show to make me cry. Commercials. There you go. Yeah.
No worries. So what I need to see tonight, I really am interested in seeing, is I want to see Bryce Huff. I want to see Nolan Smith. I want to see what these guys can do from the edge. Because I think that is one of the biggest concerns that we have. Okay, we have concerns all over the place. We could talk about whatever. But if we can get some serious edge pressure, I mean, I think everything on the defense is just going to work. It's just going to unfold. You know, getting the quarterback under duress and then that secondary, they're going to do their job. So that's what I want to see. I want to see Nolan Smith. I want to see the maturation from him. And Bryce Huff, like, what are you? Like, we got to stop talking about Hassan Reddick. He's gone. He's not coming back. The trade's over. Yeah. You're our guy. What can you do?
And by the way, we drafted Jalix Hunt in the third round, a guy who Vic Fangio seems to think is not ready. It sounds like he said something along the lines of, yeah, when we put the pads on, it was a lot different than playing against Cornell or something
he was at Princeton, you know, he's a safety a few years ago. So I think they drafted him with the idea. I don't think they're expecting a ton on the field from Jalix this year.
No, they're not.
Right. So that's where I am tonight. Like, everything else is gravy. Just I want to see what these edge guys can do. That's it.
Love it. Michael, got a famous failure for us?
Y'all remember Euro Disney?
Oh, what a good answer. Wow. Yes.
Is it still open?
I think it might be, but that was when they opened it, like, that was a massive disaster. Remember, like, there were the no lines, no one was there, the whole thing. Do you remember that?
Why were there no lines?
It was like a mess. Like, no one was going. Like, there was there were all kinds of issues with the park.
Yeah, is it the one that's in Disney, or was that somewhere? Or was it somewhere else? Because I know I've heard them reference Disney over in the Paris Olympics, but I don't know if that
I don't know
Euro
if it's
Disney.
The same one or not. Yeah, but that Euro Disney original thing was definitely a disaster.
It was a mess when they first did it.
Coming up in a few minutes, we will get to what Nick Foles had to say. Is Nick Foles officially hung him up yesterday, retiring as an Eagle? We will play you Nick's retirement speech and maybe a few of the magical moments in the Nick Foles career. Let's go back to phones to Dr. Gary in Whitehall. Yo, Gary.
Yo, morning, Gary. How we doing today?
Doing great, Gary.
John, how's the menopause? Everything all right? You got me worried there. I thought I was on the wrong station there.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's touch and go sometimes. I think I'm in the clear for the most part, but every once in a while it just reaches up and bites you.
Gary, did you not go through menopause? Were you just good the whole time?
I suffer from PTSD, so I have no idea. Maybe I did.
There you go.
You never know. Well, Gary, we love you, buddy. What's on your mind today, pal?
I want to shout out to this guy who just got his 10 years, JT Realmuto, and way to perform when he gets his 10 years and hitting that bomb.
He is, I just feel like we can depend upon him. You know,
and
like,
it is incredible
tough
that he did that on his 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Hello?
And I don't like the fact that we're not leaning into JT as much as previous years. You know, like, man, previous years, it's hard to remember games that he took off. This year, with the knee scope and everything, they're being more cautious with him health-wise. And I hope that it doesn't throw him off from a into-the-swing-of-things perspective. I hope it keeps him healthier and sprightlier for when it matters most, you know, the postseason. But, we have treated him differently this year. And I guess that's just par for the course for a catcher who is in his 30s getting up there. I love him to death. I think he's as tough as they come.
Right. I mean, what was he out? 6 weeks? 7 weeks?
Jeez, I don't know. Good question. I don't know, but they are certainly like giving him – feels like they're giving him extra days here and there, which is a new experience.
Mm-hmm. And smart. You know, right. I mean, especially crouching with the knee thing and all that, you know.
Yeah
I think it was about 6 or so weeks or so, maybe 7 total, yeah.
But
the All-Star break, obviously part of that as well.
I think that's overall, I think they're on their way back. I think they're feeling their niche. So I think that everything's starting to come through, and we're getting the timely hitting. And I'm okay with the bullpen. It is what it is. And at least we don't have to deal with Soto down in Baltimore. So.
Well, that's true. Look, they need Alvarado to be better. I did like some of the break on his pitches last night. It looked like, you know, getting the strikeout. The walks were not good, but at least the stuff looked pretty nasty when he finally, you know, turned it on and struck those guys out. And, you know, I mean, Hoffman and Strom. Strom looks back. I'm not at all concerned about Strom. I'm not at all concerned about Hoffman, even though he's had a couple bad outings. And Estevez, you know, it gives up hard contact a lot.
Are we doing just both pronunciations?
Yeah,
because I still don't know.
It's Estevez.
So yeah, I hear the announcers go Estevez.
There's an accent.
Usually, if Scott Fransky says it a certain way, I'm going to say it the way that Scott Fransky says it. I feel like that's a pretty good way to go about things. So yeah, Estevez.
And
but he's been really good too. So I think Kergring and Alvarado are the ones that you're kind of questioning right now. But and Kergring is just throw the fastball, man. Like stop relying on the sweeper over and over and over again. Eventually, major league hitters are going to hit it. But look, I think to your point, Gary, they do, if they can kind of sort it out. I mean, they have 5 arms that we could theoretically feel good about going into the playoffs. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and as far as Estevez goes, maybe we'll just call Charlie Sheen a second.
The wild thing? He hasn't been that wild, though. He's got control.
No, he has the same name.
Oh, yes, of course, because Charlie Estevez changed his name, Carlos Estevez. Yes, good call. Yes. Good call there, Gary. You threw me off there. See, I went Rick Vaughn, you know, closer,
exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Wasn't a crazy way to go.
No, I was there. And then one more shout-out to the MVP of Super Bowl 52. What a time for.
Gary, we're about to get to that. You got an answer for a famous failure?
Yeah, Marco Fultz.
Yeah, no doubt. Honestly, I'm shocked that it's taken that long, and there are other names like that too.
Certainly some Philadelphia
sports failures we can get you. Let's let's do the opposite of a failure, a Philadelphia sports success story, a Philadelphia sports hero. Yesterday, for those who did not see it, Nicholas Foles, the one, the only Super Bowl MVP in the history of this franchise, has finally decided to call it quits. He is retiring from the NFL. Last in Indy, kind of didn't work out great there at the end there. And you know, I think we all knew this was coming at some point in the not too distant future for Nick. But Nick, let's get to a little bit of what he had to say yesterday and then maybe a quick scroll down memory lane. As we're not going to play you the full 2.5 minutes of his retirement speech, but 3 parts that stood out to it. Nick started off his retirement speech like this.
It's crazy to be in this moment looking at this camera, officially announcing my retirement from the NFL. From the first day I was born, my dad put a football in my hand. He must have known something because that became a dream of mine since I've been a kid to play in the NFL, and I will be forever grateful for that.
Unbelievable, really. Obviously, super, super cool. John
Poignant
Ritchie, the only person. Yeah,
well, background.
That's the funniest part is it's very like.
Music was a little much.
I was listening when it broke live on the midday show, and I think it was Hugh Douglas like, Tucker is producing. He's like, did you put that dramatic? He's like, no. That came with it. Added a nice dramatic touch.
It's a very strange decision by the Nick Foles social media team or whatever.
That's
but
okay.
Hey, yeah, John, you know what that feels like, though, to dream about playing in the NFL and get to do it. It's really a neat thing, obviously, to be able to retire someday after achieving that goal, you know?
Man, he really... He really put his own name on it, though, the guy.
Yeah, you could say that, buddy.
He's king of the world.
Yeah.
He was the MVP of the Super Bowl. He won us our Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles, it, thank you. And I'm thrilled that he was able to retire an Eagle.
Me too. And he mentioned that. So he mentioned all the teams he played for in his speech, but a special shout out to Philly.
To the fans of the NFL around the world, thank you for making the game so special. Y'all are the ones that bring the energy in the stadiums. thank you. Specifically, thank you to the Philadelphia Eagles fans. Thank you for all your support from 2012 when I was drafted to 2017 when I came back. You truly made playing in Philadelphia the most special experience in my football career.
Yeah, and I remember him being drafted in 2012. I was working for the Philadelphia Eagles for Dave Spadaro in 2012 when Foles came in the building. I remember Nick's first year there. I'm sure I've told this story before, but I was walking around the locker room with a microphone, like asking, I've talked about with Jason Kelce before, like asking players dumb questions, like, what's your most prized possession? Who was your favorite player growing up? Whatever. And a lot of guys would ignore me or would help me out or whatever. But it's like my second day there. I'm standing in like the corner with my microphone. I'm super nervous just because I've never been in the locker room really before. Nick Foles sees me from across the room, walks over, comes over, and he's like, hey, man, I know you're new here. He's like, is there anything I can help you out with? He's like, do you need any help? Swear to God. Swear to God. He's like, do you need me a clip? You want to ask me questions or anything? It was among the nicest things that any human has ever done for me.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
Were you an intern at the time?
I was not technically an intern. I was like, whatever one step above intern is that what I was. I was like one like shade, the tiniest
PR assistant.
It was like a half step.
You just started.
Yeah, I was working with Spadaro. So it wasn't PR. It was more like the Eagles.com. PhiladelphiaEagles.com. I was like the lowest level you can be working
for
the
website. This guy recognizes that you are new, like just a staff member on the Eagles staff. Now there are hundreds of staff members.
Oh yeah, hundreds. Tons of people in the locker room. You know how many people are in there at a time.
Well, and it can be really intimidating,
totally.
Especially when you're young and you've never really been in that situation
totally.
Before. You've got a bunch of pro athletes walking around. Like,
and he saw you from across
the
room.
That's amazing.
Identified that you were new. Identified maybe you just needed someone to say hi.
Yep, that's exactly right. I will always be indebted to Nick Foles, even before he became Nick Foles.
Love that.
Everything you hear about the guy, like, he is that good a human. And also, I'll tell you,
incredible.
Like, I shook his hand, and never before has my hand disappeared in another person's hand before. Like, literally, like,
he's a big guy.
Dude, his hands are gigantic, like, totally enveloped my hand. But yeah, it was a really beautiful moment for me. It meant a lot and always stuck with me. That's one of the reasons, like, when we won the Super Bowl, to see, like, Kelce and Graham and Foles and these guys who are good to me as a person, as a human, when I was, you know, younger and in the, like, to see them have this moment, it made it more
that.
Special, you
yeah,
know, it made him,
sure.
I'm rooting for people who are actually good human beings. Like, what a cool thing that is.
Sure.
One more piece to the Foles retirement speech as he finished it out this way.
As I step away from this game, I want to cheer on the next generation of NFL players. Go out there each and every day and give it everything you have. As this chapter closes, another one opens. I'm truly grateful for my time in the NFL. I get to be a husband and a father. I have three kids at home that I get to be around all the time. I get to coach their sports. I get to be at their sports. And I also get to help them with homework, get to help them through tantrums, get to be there each and every day. So I'm truly excited for it. This isn't the end. I know I'll see you soon. Thank you all.
And we will see Nick Foles soon. September 16th, the home opener against Atlanta. Nick will be honored at that game that night. So,
and a little bit of retirement advice: do everything you can avoid to help with homework.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
It's
yeah,
awful.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna hopefully let my wife handle that. We've got our departments. Science, you do it. I'm out.
He's apparently like a big time pickleball player.
Yeah, no, he's like a very talented.
Oh, right, I forgot.
He's also
about
a talented
that.
Athlete. I mean, remember, was a great basketball player. The whole thing.
Yeah.
All right, very, very, very quick stroll down memory lane, and then we'll go right back to the phones. Three pieces of audio I have to play as we honor Nick Foles. Two of them you're expecting. One, we don't talk enough. Nick Foles did tie an NFL record here. Like, he is one of like five guys or four guys or whatever to have seven touchdowns in a game against John's former team, the Raiders. Here's the seventh touchdown from that day to tie the record.
Foles puts Jackson in motion. Foles fakes. He rolls. He looks. Still looks. Fires. Touchdown! Tying the Eagles all-time record with his seventh touchdown pass of the game.
Wild, wild stuff. I remember just watching that game. I was working for the team at the time, and we just all couldn't believe that this was happening. We're like, another? What is happening
yeah.
right now?
And
like,
who did it come against, James?
Was Nomni on that team?
No, like, who was the other team?
Oh, no, yeah, Nomni was definitely not there. No. The Raiders, that's what I said. That's why
oh,
it threw me
yeah.
off. I started by saying against John Ritchie's former team.
Gotcha,
against the Raiders, yeah. So, two more pieces. Obviously, winning the Super Bowl itself is the biggest moment in Foles' career, but the biggest moment in that game, one of the, you know, like 15 named plays in the history of the sport, the Philly Special.
Foles moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick Foles.
It's a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Listen, a little razzle dazzle by Duff.
So, John Ritchie, you will remember you and I losing our minds at the Fillmore in that moment. I just kept running back and forth around and yelling, Nick Foles caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl! Nick Foles caught... Like, I couldn't... It was like the most unbelievable thing that ever happened in my life in that moment.
I know, and you can hear it in the call. You can hear it in Merrill's voice, too. It was so... unexpected.
Yeah.
No one could have imagined we'd go there. It was fourth down.
Fourth
it was
down.
The boldest move and just in such a fell swoop, like it was natural, fell into place.
What a huge
advantage heading into that locker room. It just felt like that happened and we knew. That happened. It was like that is the game hinging on one play. Bang. Thank you.
What I loved was, I guess, when NFL Films came out with the sideline, when he calmly walks
He's
over.
He's the one who asked for it.
Yeah. Peterson, you want Philly? And Doug goes, all right, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best. Especially because we didn't know. We're just like, Doug called it. It was actually Nick who made that call. And also from the NFL Films, I thought that mic'd up was so great. One of the great moments for me rewatching that was before the final drive, or the big drive with the Ertz touchdown, which we're going to get to, that drive where they go down for the first time in the game. They go down by a point, and Foles comes out. We didn't know at the time, but in the mic'd up you hear, he sits down in that huddle to start that drive, and he looks at everyone and he goes, first of all, I love you guys. And it's like real. It's like the Montana thing with this. John Candy? Like it felt like it just settled everything down. It was like, all right, guys, let's go. Mm-hmm. And he had the big fourth down and completion to Ertz, the drive, and then capped it off with the biggest touchdown in Eagles history.
Back goes Foles. Fires. Slant. Touchdown! Zach Ertz. He caught it. He bobbled it. And he never let it drop. And he finished with the football.
Insane that was even a question. It was clearly not a fumble. I thought it was asinine the way Chris Collins would go, I don't know.
He ruined that Super Bowl.
I don't know. I mean, enough. All right, it was clearly a touchdown. Clearly, like, insane. But shout out to our guy Nick Foles. You know, my favorite Eagles quarterback of all time, I think, deserves to be considered the best because he's the one who got it done. But certainly someone who will hold a very, 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 very special place in the history of Philadelphia sports forever. So shout out to Nick. Obviously, an amazing career. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Downingtown and talk to Mark. Hey, Mark.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing great, Mark.
Can you hear me okay? It's a bad phone day.
No, yeah, you sound good.
You sound good.
Okay, great. Just real quick. As far as the Eagles game tonight, I really would like to see the offense run at least one series. I don't want to see anyone get hurt, but I think it would be really necessary. I know they're running, all their plays through practice. I think it would be beneficial to run it against a true opposing defense so that they have
something to kind of pick
apart and look at. However, I would like to see the defense maybe run two or three series, the starting defense, just because I have more questions about them. And I don't even know who's going to be starting. But
yeah, sure.
Kind of worrying.
Yeah, well, look, I think both sides, it would serve both sides well to get our starters out there and running around with the new coordinators, the new play callers. Really, like that whole process, we could stand to rehearse it a little bit before the regular season starts.
Exactly. That was my feeling. I wanted to, evaluate the coordinators as well.
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter who's starting or not, I think that'll be an important thing for those coordinators to get a feel for where everyone's going to be, what they're going to do. Vic Fangio's already said he's going to do it from the booth up top, so at least that's settled heading in. We remember Sean Desai being like, I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm like,
Fangio's like, I like the booth.
I got a bird's eye view. I'm good.
He sees it better up there.
He said that.
Period.
Yep.
That's
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
And can I give a quick on-air apology before I give my answer?
Absolutely.
So you put me on the spot the other day, and I shot from the hip, and I mentioned Joe's cousin. And I just want to send out an apology, not to Joe, but I apologize to Joe's cousin.
Oh,
I think
man.
That's a stand-up
so nice
thing to
you.
Do, Mark. I agree. No apologies to Joe, but Joe's cousin, we're sorry for smearing your good name, really. Sorry.
Right. And my answer is for an epic failure, I'm trying to find something that's humorous. But you mentioned soda commercials back in the day in the 80s. The Pepsi commercial when they decided to use pyrotechnics and Michael Jackson's hair caught fire.
Oh, yeah. That was I forgot about that. Wow. Yeah, that's a tough beat right there.
Like 1983.
Yeah. He was the most famous person in the world at that moment, or about to be if he wasn't already. Yeah. 215-592-94. Commercials really used to matter. You know, in a way that they don't anymore. I mean, the Super Bowl commercial thing, those McDonald's, like the Jordan, Larry Bird stuff. Like, all that stuff was like it was like a big deal, remember?
They were a big deal.
Yeah, the Bud Bowl, like all those type of things. Like, it just, you know. Anyway, remember Absolute Vodka? Remember the Absolute ads, like, in the magazines? Like, people used to collect those things. Do you remember that? Anyway.
Magazines? What are those?
That's good. Center City and talk to Todd. Hey, Todd.
Hey, good morning, morning team.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, you guys are doing a great job. You know, and I love Joe, but this week, the show's taken on a whole nother level of maturity, which I appreciate.
Oh, good.
I'm not sure about that.
Thanks, pal.
Yeah, I don't know, but thank you.
Yeah, and Rhea, I'm going to go rapid fire here because I know time's tight. But Rhea, I also know Amy from Villanova. I've known her since the 90s, and I will say
Why?
Hold on, Todd. How?
I think is a better question. Why implies why would you want to know?
We grew up in the same industry, and okay. I like her a lot. I think she's terrific.
I think she's awesome.
Pretty good work by Joe.
Shocking, if we're being honest.
So
yes.
I will just say this: they are definitely in a place that would be very appropriate to propose. The question's whether Joe has the closing skills, or does he have a menopause moment and chickens out. But hey, real quick, I want to see the Eagles starters play tonight. I want to see the offense take it out for a spin. I know the injury issues, and you don't want to put too much on tape. But let's get a couple passes, a couple Saquon runs, and then take them out. And then for my failure, this is a local, and this is probably not the winning answer, but 476 going to two lanes in Delco, because Springfield and Broomall and Swarthmore fought that because they said it would bring crime and congestion. And what did they get? They got traffic jams.
Yeah.
And it's a constant source of frustration.
No, Todd, that's feels a brilliant like a very personal one. But yes.
No, I literally, Wednesday, I had to take the Blue Route, and it was like 10th.
Has it
been worse because of that?
Time you go from 95 south onto the Blue Route.
Oh, it's a disaster. Yeah. Well, it's annoying for 95, too. Yeah. It's annoying for everything.
And they spent, 30 years building that?
Yeah, it took a long time. You're
and it's
right.
Well, 95, it's always the people who don't realize they have to get over if they're going to continue on 95.
I know.
Yeah, I run into that at least twice a week.
Yeah, that is not a great spot. But again, I think there's also just going to be traffic there. But the extra
traffic
the extra
in Philadelphia
help,
as a whole is out of control.
It's just the worst. Twitter poll question today, sponsored by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin Chevrolet's quality certified pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. Our question: do you want the starters to play more than a series in tonight's Eagles-Ravens preseason game? 215-592-9494. Let's go to Marcus and Perkesey. How you been, pal?
Good. How are you?
Good, man. Long time no speak. What up, Marcus?
A couple things. First, I want to say that the clinical name for menopause is andropause.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a thing?
It's a real thing.
I will say I had another buddy, shout out to my buddy Mike, who texted, apparently menopause is like a thing. People know the saying menopause. So my buddy John, I didn't think he came up with it, but apparently menopause is a thing.
Interesting.
But it's really andro.
I'm 55 years old, and I'm chest deep in it.
Yeah. Tell me.
You
and me both,
good way
buddy.
To put it, buddy.
If I'm driving down the highway, Pink Floyd comes on, wrong song, it just hits.
Oh, and totally. I mean, with my daughter, there'll be times where I'm overflowing with emotion because I'm just like, look at you.
And the thing that's crazy is there was like a swath of my life, 35 or 40 years where I never felt anything like this. It was never spurred at a moment's notice like it is with menopause or andropause or whatever this is. It just hits me out of the blue and there's no warning and overwhelms me and it feels like this rush of, it's almost like this warm rush of tingly emotion.
You well up.
That once upon a time, I never,
ever felt. I even considered.
That was the testosterone, John.
I know. Or something. Maybe it's estrogen.
It was making you ready for battle and to defend the tribe. And
yeah, that's
all that
true,
kind of
actually.
Stuff.
A little fight or flight there. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Marcus. Marcus, what do you got on the birds?
I just want to say I'm totally psyched for tonight. I want to see some starters play, but I admit that I'm being selfish about that.
Love that.
You don't sound convinced at all. You want to see the starters?
I love
starters,
the honesty there. It's like, I don't think they should play, but I want them to entertain me tonight. Well, it's funny you were saying that because I was thinking about with the last call, and I'm saying don't play them, but I was thinking about last call. He's like, I want to see Saquon. I'm like, I do too. That'd be cool to see Saquon in Eagles uniform in a football game. That'd be neat. So yeah, I'm with
you.
I know. I'm ready.
Before I go, I got to ask Devin.
Yeah.
Devin,
mm-hmm.
You think Joel Embiid is the best athlete in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
You're out of your mind.
Who is better?
Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is very clearly better.
When Embiid is fully healthy, which I know is frustrating, he isn't always at the end of the season, he is one of the most dominant players in the NBA, in the sport of basketball, let alone Philadelphia.
Yeah, but Bryce is going to be an inner circle Hall of Famer, and he's done in the playoffs. Like, I think this is an inarguable discussion.
Made it to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce, and also has been a superstar in those moments.
Since he was 16. I think it's hard to compare two different sports. And I'm not, I don't want to.
You backtracking?
Poo-poo.
I like this. She's backtracking.
You said he was the best athlete in the city.
I don't want to poo poo baseball, but
I'll give it to you. He's the best athlete in the NBA in the city.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay.
Nice call. Maxie's pretty good. I'm just saying. You know?
Okay, Maxie is not better than Joel Embiid.
No, he's not. I'm joking.
I think Embiid is a better athlete than Bryce Harper. I think Bryce Harper is great, but I think Embiid is better.
I think you have to get it done in the playoffs before I can say that. But look, Embiid's great, and I'm not. We have MVP guys. We have two guys we're talking about who both won MVPs in their sport. I mean, that alone in Philadelphia history is few and far between.
Devin, it's the thing that frustrates me about him the best. He could be a generational player.
Totally.
He just could. But that's
the lens I'm looking at. I get
you
it.
You can't look
he
through
needs
a lens
perform.
When he literally failed in that Atlanta series. He quit in the Boston series.
Yeah.
In game six.
You're right.
Nobody passed me the ball in the last 3 minutes. Superstars get the ball.
Yep.
Okay, but Bryce Harper in game 6 and 7 last year didn't perform
Bryce
as well.
Bryce Harper just went through a massive slump.
No, hold up. Well, right now he's in a slump, but
Bryce
whatever.
Bryce Harper also gets injured every year.
Bryce Harper hit the biggest home run in the history of the franchise to send them to the World Series to win a series. Bryce batted like 350 or whatever it was that playoffs. Bryce was hitting awesome last playoffs until the last couple games when, yes, he didn't come through. He hit a ball to the warning track in a big spot. Sorry. Embiid gets the ball every play. Like, Embiid's
Embiid literally put the Sixers on his back and put up 50-plus points in a
playoff
game last year.
In a series they lost in the first round!
Because he has no one else around him!
He had Tyrese Maxey! He's one of the 15 best players in the NBA! What are we talking about here? Like, enough! Come on!
I think you're talking pure talent perspective, though.
I'm talking pure raw talent.
No, we're talking best player. We're talking best player, I thought.
But I'm saying, with my take, that Embiid is the best athlete in Philadelphia, I'm talking raw talent.
Well, I mean, talking raw talent, it might be Jalen Carter if we're actually really talking who is the most talented at their position.
Enough.
I mean, I agree, but that's the point. But she's not talking about performance.
Yeah.
She's talking about who is the most talented athlete in the city. You're doing a different thing because best player is clearly Harper. You can't make an argument that Embiid should be over Harper in terms of production and what they have done in their career so far. But in terms of like who is the most physically gifted at what they do, that's
Embiid.
A separate discussion.
Yeah.
I don't know. It might be Embiid. It might be Jalen Carter. It might be A.J. Brown. Like, there are a few names you could throw in there who are right at that level of just about as physically gifted as you can be in your sport. It's an interesting... there is a distinction there, though, between best player and best athlete.
Marcus, see what you started?
I love it.
I apologize. And I know you said you don't want to compare sports, but you guys should, like, try playing ice hockey one time.
Oh, dude, I played ice hockey till the fourth grade or whatever. Like, there is no more physically demanding sport,
in
my opinion.
You couldn't go to fifth grade? What's this about?
I didn't want to. I was like, I'm dying out here. This is like, it's so much more physically, for me at least, it was so much more physically demanding than anything else I ever did. Marcus, you got an answer for us? A famous failure?
I do. Real quick, I want to thank you guys. You make every weekday morning better for me.
Oh, thanks,
You're doing
man.
A great job.
That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
I love you all.
Thanks, Marcus.
We love you, too.
A lot of love today. I love
this. This is a lot of
this
love.
Is a beautiful
was that
thing.
Menopause?
I mean, I don't know. I'm a lovey kind of guy.
Was.
So, you know, I'm a hugger.
We're
I'm
Andro.
All that. Yeah.
We're Andro paused out.
So I hopefully this doesn't trigger the andropause, but Challenger.
Oh, that's tough. That's
And again, we like.
Yeah, we were kind of looking for more fun. Yeah. See, this is all Morgenstein's fault. Going, I started Bay all of this. Pigs
Bay
the
of pig,
we're sitting fired. Here like funny stuff. Oh, like, and then he's like Bay of Pigs. Yeah. So,
you know what?
Yeah.
I might just call Justin Bay of Pigs from now on. That is such. It's so extreme. To I go mean, Bay of no, no, Pigs.
I just went as dark as possible.
You know,
at
like,
six
we
in the
even
morning.
Talked. We've talked about keeping it light before we did. Like we're doing the side discussion.
John, he clearly wasn't paying any
Bay
attention to
of yeah. freaking pigs.
It was pretty good. All right, 215-592-9494. One more hour for us to go. Phillies, Eagles, Joel Embiid, menopause. It's all on the table. Get in now. We're coming right back.
The lead dog at Dog and Cats Rule, George Perante, says when it comes to fresh, they have it all. Gently cooked, raw, freeze-dried. Hey, if your vet has prescribed your pet a raw food diet, freeze-dried has all the same benefits as raw, but freeze-dried, here's the cool thing. You got to head to the shore. Maybe you're going on vacation. You're taking your pets with you. It travels well. Dogs and Cats Rule is your top local source for the best and premium pet products, and a fresh meat diet along with fresh fruits, vegetables, and superfoods is today's answer for your pet's well-being. At Dogs and Cats Rule, they train the best staff in the business. They're experts at helping your pets live their best lives. They can recommend the best food. Maybe your pet has some dietary restrictions or allergies. They can help you with all of that. At Dogs and Cats Rule, 7 neighborhood locations, Princeton and Pennington in New Jersey, Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, and Bluebell in Pennsylvania. Or you can always check them out online at dogsandcatsrule.pet. Dogs and Cats Rule. Shop small, shop local, shop family.